Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello everyone, I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour, dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining me for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where we ask, is Biden sharp as a button or as thick as a pound of mutton? It's one or the other, you globalist mothers. Will they dump him before the election and install another fungal infection? Will the sovereign farmers set all of Europe ablaze? Their dedication and stamina deserves mountains of praise. Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars was cringeworthy on crack. Will he snap out of derangement syndrome if we give him a jolly big smack? And the question I want answered today most of all, America, this is a shit show. Do we have enough Lysol? As always, my darlings, we try to discuss these topics and more with as much dignity and decorum as can be mustered on any given day. I regret to inform you, we are rarely successful, but we are honor bound to give it our best shot. And on this show, the Metaphysical Martini Show, we do love the odd shot now and then. Yes, we do. In fact, for your sakes only, let me take a sip of today's drinky poo and see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, my darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. Yes, I think that's going to grow on me. We'll see throughout the next hour. Sometimes they taste a little bit different in the beginning, and they taste very different towards the end, so we'll see. But I'm quite happy with it. If you are joining us for the very first time, oh, huzzah, and a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect, so as not to erode the intellect. Martini heads, we are simple, sensible folk. We honour common sense, common courtesy, and common decency. We don't do woke. We know about the death poke. We will never wear a face cloak. And in a world filled with automatons and brainwashed zealots, we are quite simply proud American patriots. Our ideology, give or take, is sort of libertarian. We believe there is a supreme cosmic intelligence, called God or creator by some. And we very much believe America has a sacred purpose. And that is why we have pledged our lives to the destruction of deep state extremism and to the restoration of the Republic of the United States of America. Where we go one, we go all. On today's show, what do we have? Well, we have one of my favorite sections, Ani Pontificates, and then that's followed by Quack, questions, answers, and comments from We the People. After that, we'll do awesome American civics and history, a very silly poem, and then my favorite part of the show, my absolute favorite part of the show, the cocktail du jour. After all, darlings, Metaphysical Martini is where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits, and how lovely is that? So let's get on with the show. And what shall I pontificate on today? Think, Ani, think. You know, I must say, I'm in very good humor today. I can't think of anything I'd like to rant about. So, you know, maybe I'll just chat like a normal person. What shall I address? What's been on my mind? Let me have a sip and let me have a think about that. I've thought. I'd like to address the people who know how the world works, who know what's going on in the bigger picture, but still find themselves upset by it and frustrated and angry and myriad emotions, right? There's no need to be upset. Why are you upset? You know the agenda, and you know it has to play out for as long as it takes to make sure that all the darkness is rooted out. And you also know that it will take a while because the ones at the top, you know, the sociopaths, the super sociopaths, spreading their gospel of filth. We can't let these people live. I hope you understand what I mean by that. We cannot let these people live. Their energies must be removed completely from our planet. And in addition to military engagement, there is ritual involved with that to remove not just their bodies, but also their subtle energies. And there are people in place, you know, who know what to do when the time comes. And we all hope it comes soon, you know, but we're not the only ones and we're not the ones in charge. So why allow ourselves to be triggered? Just because you are one of the awakened, it doesn't mean you have to keep up with every single news bulletin or listen to every single podcast, react to every social media post and click every link. You know as well as I do, the news media today is an unholy mountain of misinformation and fear-mongering. You know the bigger picture. So step back a little. You, the awakened, are not their target audience. They've already lost you. Why are you engaging again? Don't allow yourselves to be riled up propaganda that you know is propaganda and you know is not written for you. What we focus on becomes our reality. Watching hours of media will convince you that the world is nothing but a dark pit of despair. That only this new darkness reigns, and it's quite the opposite, actually. This is one planet in one solar system of our vast universe, which is part of a greater cosmos made up of many universes. And the darkness is not new. It's always been there. But we have always been distracted from it and given either a shiny toy to play with or some new horror to focus on. There is darkness. I won't deny that. But horrible as it is, it's minuscule compared to the amount of Christ light pouring into our realm. And it's because of this Christ light that we saw the corruption in the first place. It's because of this Christ light that our eyes and minds are open to new visions and new possibilities. Instead of wasting our energy getting upset over what we know are illusions, why not take the time to become the very best version of ourselves? Let's take advantage of all that Christ light and dump the baggage. If we want to truly embrace a fourth dimension mindset, well, the false ego simply cannot have dominion over our minds. Our priority now is to stabilize our cosmic connection, our divine alignment. To see ourselves as what we truly are, a part of all that is. And we have to stop all this nonsense of, I'm trying to find my way back to God. You know, people, we need new language for that because we are not lost. The only part of us that's real is the God soul. We are gods in bods. We don't always behave like it, but it's true all the same. And it will never change, because there is no opposite to source. Everything, good, bad, ugly, and every level in between is source, having an experience. So let's remember that as we go about life in this exciting and challenging time. let's turn our anger into acceptance, and let's just channel our frustration into joy for having freedom of thought, for being free thinkers. Let us tune out the mad matrix and seek to find that still voice within, the voice of our godliness. We know it's rubbish out there. What is the point of going out there like a chicken with its head cut off or a rabbit with its arse on fire and going around in circles going, it's rubbish out here, it's rubbish out. We know, darlings, we know. You know, I know, just about everybody knows. Withdraw. Observe. We can do better. Right, well, pontification over. And now we can move on to quack. Questions and answers and comments, rants and raves, whatever you guys want to talk about, because this segment is the reason we started the show, to hear the voices of we, the people. So if you would like to share the nuggets of wisdom in your noggins with martini heads all over the world, send your emails to me, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or by snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, USA. And please remember to tell me if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. And if I'm in a strange mood, I might even give you a strange little identity, which will not please you. I see that the drink is already having its desired effect. Okay, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. I'm a shaking, the fishbowl is shaky, shaky. All right, let's pick one. There we go. This is from Flora in Tampa. So she's Flora from Florida. How lovely. And Flora asks, when we go into the fourth dimension, will we be able to have sex, any kind of sex that we want? Yes, we will be able to have sex, any kind of sex that you want. I'm assuming you don't do weird sex that like hurts people, consensual or otherwise. But yes, there will be sex. Do not worry. All the sex workers out there, don't panic. You'll still make a living for a little bit, because actually that trade is going to go away within the next 100 years. You know, there are highly evolved beings still in physical form, but a form filled with light, who do not need to engage in a sexual procreation ritual to have babies. Or in some cases, to actually have the babies delivered to them. I kid you not. But, you know, I have no sense of chronology for when that might happen for us. I mean, I don't think I could possibly calculate that far ahead for planet Earth. But I would like to assure you, Flora, that leveling up does not mean going without nookie. And I'm sure that's a relief to a great many people out there. And moving on to another question. This one is from Kurt, who's obviously from somewhere, but he hasn't told me. And Kurt says, dear Arnie, can you define a negative thought for me? There are exercises where we have to spend several days without having a negative thought, but that seems impossible unless you stop thinking. I know where you're coming from, Kurt. In fact, we were having a very similar conversation just the other day with one of my Course in Miracles groups. Look, we will have negative thoughts several times each day. But the trick is to catch ourselves as soon as it happens, to recognize that incoming, and to take a breath and to reset to the present moment. So, you know, carry on with your exercise. And, you know, if you stay with the negative thought, though, if you don't get yourself out of it and you find yourself for several minutes in this negative thought, you have to scrap the exercise and you have to start all over again. You know, while we're on the subject, I'll say there's a cloying little theme throughout New Age material that you have to be Pollyanna happy all the time and disregard anything that would kill your buzz, as if, oh no, it didn't happen. Oh no, there's nothing bad in the world. Oh no, I live a charmed life and everything is perfect all the time. It doesn't matter that my hair is on fire and I have giant hemorrhoids and I'm bleeding from the nose. No, see, that is silly and it's not useful. So when the buzz killers come along, you practice acceptance, not avoidance. Acceptance. What does acceptance do for us? I shall answer. Acceptance dissolves resistance. Acceptance dissolves resistance. And without resistance, we are back to objectivity. And then we find solutions because we're cool and calm and objective. And if someone comes along and smacks you in the kisser, are you supposed to say, it never happened? Just smile and walk away. I forgive you, friend, because you think that that's a negative thought. No, you practice acceptance. Someone smacks you, you process what happened in a rational manner, after which you decide what action, if any, you will take. This world beams negative, fear-filled messages 24/7. No one is going to avoid having a negative thought. So instead of trying to block them out, recognize the change in your energy and correct it as soon as possible. Now, I don't know exactly what exercise that you are talking about, but there is something called the 7-day mental diet. You do 7 days, and if you don't have a negative thought for 7 days, your life will change. And it is true. If you can make it through 7 days of catching yourself as soon as the negative thought comes in, 7 days of catching it and making the correction, you will have overwritten a substantial portion of the false ego programming, and your life will change for the better. You will leave the drama to the playwrights, and you will focus slowly and solely on attuning your divine light. This is a terrifying feeling for most people because they think that if they overcome the ego, somehow it's the death of their entire personality. It isn't. The only part the false ego, is, it's the one that stops you from living a spirit-centered life, the one that sabotages you, the one that stops you from, fulfillment and being on your path. Let it go. Let the false ego die and let the personality, the persona, the real spirit-centered ego, let that live. Because that's when life begins, not ends. Celebrate the death of the false ego and celebrate the birth of the first moment of living purely in spirit. Life becomes magical once the ego dies. Thank you for that question, Kurt, from wherever you are. All right, moving on. Let me have a little sip here of this cocktail. It's growing. It's growing on me. It's growing. Here's an email from Candice in Toronto. Hello, Candice in Toronto. And she asks, how do you deal with anxiety attacks? I'm not sure if you're asking how I deal with them or if it's more of a general question like how one should deal with an anxiety attack. If it's the former, I don't deal with them because I find no longer have them. I don't have them anymore. And that's more recent than you would think. But if it's the latter, the short answer is to find the source of your anxiety and deal with it. And I'm not being impertinent or flippant here. I always say, Arnie, I have anxiety attacks and I can't figure out why. So if we were to analyze that, something is making your entire being uncomfortable enough to either make you run around in circles or to freeze in place, and you don't know what it could be. I would say that you're not fully engaged in your own life, and that is not good because you've lost control of yourself, and that is silly. You need to figure out why you have anxiety, and the cause is unique to the individual. It could be something as simple as what you just ate or drank. Allergies can cause reactions in the body that mimic anxiety. Caffeine is usually a major player. And, count those endless cups of coffee drunk in the workplace, and sugar is a culprit. Coming down off drugs, prescribed or recreational, can be a factor. Whatever the cause, find it and deal with it. But here's a tip. Here's a tip. Anxiety is a disruption in your personal energy field. Whatever sets it off has caused ripples of discomfort in the aura. So before you go through the list of what caused it, take a series of deep, slow, purposeful breaths to calm the aura and settle down. Keep breathing until you feel a return to whatever passes as calm for you. And then, once you're in a more objective state of mind, figure out the root cause of the dysfunction. It's your body. You need to be in control of it. If you start medication without trying to find the root cause and without trying something as simple as drinking less coffee, engaging in deep breathing, going for a walk in the park or cuddling a kitten, you know, you have denied your sovereignty. And that leads to a weak and feeble mind and a wasted incarnation. And there's far too much of that in today's world, much to the delight of the rapidly fading but still operational dark establishment. Okay, here's another one. And oh, this is a postcard. Let's do this one. This is a postcard, and it's from Flynn in Big Fork, Montana. Montana is on my list of places to consider moving to come the revolution. Anywho, Flynn writes in tiny letters. Let me get my big girl glasses for this one. Hold on. here we go. Mad Shaman, hello. You talk about executing the cabal. Isn't that murder? Not the first person to ask me this question, and I suspect you won't be the last. Happy to answer, actually. I know it is difficult for some to comprehend the extent of the evil these bestial demons are capable of generating, but I assure you, it is 100 times worse than you think it is. And for as long as these people live and breathe on Earth, they will continue to generate evil and influence others to do the same. Imprisonment is not a good option for those who would enslave an entire race. Seek to separate them from the knowledge of their true nature, which is really what blasphemy is. They experiment on us, want to cull us, rape the children, drink the blood, eat the flesh, and yes, of course that happens, and in general manipulate the species for their own nefarious purposes. Now, you are naive if you think putting them behind bars will put an end to the spread of their gospel of filth. We need to end their lives, spill their blood on the ground, and burn their bodies into fine dust, a dust that white light shamans will neutralize and dispose of. There's a way of doing that. This is the only way forward. And this is why so many have Trump derangement syndrome. Those who fear his return know what is in store for them. It is the ones who can be blackmailed that are screaming out, plus a large handful of clueless idiots who wouldn't know their asses from their big toes. But if we apply the rational mind and step away from partisan conditioning, it really does make sense. It's quite obvious. It pokes you in the nose. So executing these depraved sociopaths is the only solution. Shall we take another question from the fishy bowl? Let's do it. Let me have a sip. All right. Have I ever met a cocktail I didn't like? Yes, many. In fact, I should do a podcast one day on all the cocktails that have been terrible. That might be fun. Meanwhile, back to the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. Let's pick this one. This is from Sam in Medford, Oregon. And Sam says, which water filtration do you use? We have just started prepping and we thought it would be easier. It is not. Ah, yes. Sam, water filtration, I use Berkey. Berkey with a B. It's low tech. It's effective. I also have a bunch of water filtration straws, which I keep in the home and in the car. We all make mistakes when we first start prepping. I mean, we've always had an emergency kit at home and about a month of food, but we hadn't done any long-term prepping. We started that about 5 years ago. And I must say, it took us that long to figure out what works and what doesn't. It is a lengthy subject, which I won't go into today. But in general, Sam, keep it simple and don't buy anything you don't enjoy eating. And if you don't like stuff in peacetime, you won't like it any better during the revolution, where, you know, because food is a great motivator. And when the power goes out and all you have are sardines and you hate sardines when the lights are on, you're going to hate them even more when the lights are off. So stock up on basics, of course, your rice, your lentils, your beans, and all of the stuff that you can eat and are not allergic to. Buy the best version you can afford. And don't forget liquor and chocolate, because they will help you feel better, both of those items. And if you don't use any of those items, that's fine, bully for you. But you can trade them. You can trade them for services or other products. So there we go. Sam Berkey, best water filter ever. And let's take one more question. One more, I think. This is from Omit Personal Details. Dear Ani, how do you make sense of living life in a meaningless world? Oh, dear Omit, no wonder you didn't give your name. Are you an existentialist? Because I'm not sure that's actually classified as a bona fide philosophy. Life is not meaningless for me. I know who I am. The meaning of human existence depends on how you see yourself. And how you see yourself influences how you see the world and how you immerse yourself in it. And then you decide how to influence the world and make it a better place. I don't see existence as anything separate from me. So if you know yourself, you know existence. And if the world is meaningless, then so are you. And that, my darlings, is simply not true. You decide what you want to do with your life. And as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, or you don't become a sociopath or a mass murderer, I'm sure it will be just fine. So have a great life. Okay, let's do just one more. One more. One more before we move on. And this is from Ellie in Rhode Island, who asks, did Jesus go back into the uncreated mass? Now that is a lovely little question. Did Jesus go back into the uncreated mass? No. The great soul that creates and experiences the Christed beings such as Jesus Emmanuel did not return to the uncreated mass. That soul is still very much with us and working its magic across multiple realms. And we need all the help we can get right now. So that's really good. The uncreated mass, when you go back into that, I mean, who would go back into that? I mean, I know that every so often Creator takes everything that needs to be recycled and purified and start again. Okay, that goes back in. But also very enlightened beings who have experienced everything there is to experience. Every algorithm has been run in their soul's evolution. And what happens then, you ask? Well, you take that soul after a period of purification, and then you go into the uncreated mass and you sort of sweeten the pot. And I can't explain it. So when I meditate on it, I do see faces, you know, I do see beings, I see lights, I see personalities, characters, but I see all that is, was, and ever shall be. It's almost like videos are running of all the various experiences. And then what happens? Well, you can stay in Source and be part of Source. Or you can choose to start all over again. And I know everyone's out there going, I'm not going to start all over again. I didn't go through all those algorithms and all those soul experiences just to start again as an earthworm. It is very odd, this little thing we call creation, isn't it? Because we're actually very excited about creating something, anything, even a life as an earthworm. Well, I think we'll leave it there today for quack. And I want to thank all the martini heads for taking time to write in and to share your joys and your woes. It's just lovely to connect with you all every other Wednesday. For those of us, you know, who may have felt a little disenfranchised. But, you know, you're really feeling the shift now, aren't you, my little patriot buddies? Yes, you are. Things are happening. It's palpable. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, what shall we do now? Let's do a little kazoo. Now we're going to do awesome American civics and history. We've had quite a few letters from people who say, well done, Ani. This is a fabulous segment and we all need more of it. And we've had quite a few letters from people to say, bring back Plato chips, bring back the cryptic mystic, bring back tarot agogo. I can't do it all in 1 hour. Right now, what America needs is to learn its history and its civics. So please bear with me and let me do this for 2-3 months or however long it takes. And then I promise I'll go back and I'll find new and interesting segments for you. But for now, it is time for the Star Spangled. Now, until we dispose of the dark establishment, there will be multiple attempts to undermine the Constitution of the United States of America. Sovereignty is anathema to those who live by the gospel of Luciferian filth. And we accept this, and that is why we need to eliminate every drop of the establishment's influence on our most loving and gracious Mother Earth. That said, some folks find the language of the Constitution to be confusing. I don't agree with them, but maybe that's because I place myself in the mindset and original intention of the founding fathers and framers. I will borrow heavily today from my friend, I don't know him, but I feel we could be friends, Dr. Michael Arnhem, who's a constitutional expert who writes books in plain English. Huzzah! And he made a list of some of the sources of confusion, and I would like to share them with you. So I guess the first thing is technical language. The Constitution, lest we forget, is a statement of law. So yes, it contains legal jargon. For example, ratifying an amendment means to confirm it. Ratifying has nothing to do with rats or other rodents. I think if we were to buy dictionaries and maybe a couple of historical manuals, we will figure that out on ourselves. But the technical language hangs people up. I don't know why it should, probably because we're not as learned in this generation as we were in previous generations. Something else people talk about is the language is very old-fashioned. Well, we're looking at 1789, and now it's 2024, so 235 years old language will change. Meanings of words will change over time, and that can be, of course, a natural organic process, not necessarily the forced misinterpretations of today. We'll take an example, the word compact. Today, compact means something that occupies very little space. But back then, in 1789, a compact was an agreement or an alliance. So if we read Article 1, Section 10, no state shall, without consent of Congress, enter into any compact or agreement with another state or foreign power. It kind of makes sense if you bother to think about it a little and do a little research. We see that the federal government is telling the states they cannot pursue their own foreign policy. And that sounds obvious today, but remember that before we became the American Republic, we were a bunch of semi-autonomous states under the yoke of the British monarch branch of the dark establishment. Old-fashioned ideas. Well, okay, let's use an example, and the most common example used is the Seventh Amendment, which ensures the right to trial by jury for any civil suit where the value in controversy shall exceed $20. Now, today, $20 will buy you a burger, fries, and if you're lucky, a pint of domestic beer. But then, the average wage was $16 a week. Now it's about $16 an hour, give or take. So do we need to change the amount? Or is it a good thing that the dollar amount is low, low enough to make sure the trial by jury is available to almost everyone in civil suits? Many say the Constitution is full of obsolete concepts. Are the concepts presented in the Constitution obsolete or out of date? People, idiot people in my opinion, love to say the Second Amendment is obsolete. After all, we are no longer at war with Britain. I would debate that. We are at war with our own government. That's for sure. I won't get into the whole City of London thing, but we are at war with our own government, or what is the current New World Order puppet regime posting as a government. So I say sovereignty is the core theme of the Constitution. So I, Arnie Avedisian, am the captain of my family's militia, and it is my duty to protect my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I don't have to join the army or National Guard to do that. And I will shoot anyone who tries to take my guns from me, because an attack on my sovereignty is an attack on my citizenship, which is an attack on America, the country I love and I have sworn to protect. That's my interpretation of it. What else could we go to? The right to trial by jury. Now, that's guaranteed for criminal trials by the Sixth Amendment and for civil trials by the Seventh Amendment. It's seen by some as anachronistic, but ask any trial attorney if he or she would prefer to present in front of 12 ordinary folks or just one judge, especially today when the neutrality of the judges is most certainly up for debate. Something else my friend Dr. Arnhem has identified: ambiguity and clarifying uncertainties. Again, we can look at the Second Amendment. Does it give individual citizens right to keep and bear arms, or does it restrict the right to members of militias or their modern equivalent? I am sure James Madison's intentions were clear to him, but he wasn't so clear in the language that he used. I'm going to go with original intention because I am an originalist. You have to get the feel of the flavor of a constitution and go from there, or else, you know, it's just another series of endless dictionary wars between compromised justices. Another example is what happens when the president dies. What does happen when the president dies? Oh, please, I wish this puppet president would, never mind. So when the president dies, is the VEEP actually the president or just the space holder acting president? So in 1841, William Henry Harrison died and VEEP John Tyler took over, but Tyler refused to be an acting president. He didn't want to be a space holder. And he set a precedent that was followed by every subsequent VEEP. But it wasn't until 1967 that the 25th Amendment fully settled the issue. Another argument is people say there are so many omissions in the Constitution. Man, you know, the world is full of stuff. You can't put it all in there. But let's discuss that. What isn't discussed in the Constitution that could be pertinent? Well, democracy certainly doesn't make an entrance in there. Political parties aren't discussed. The death penalty isn't discussed. Privacy isn't discussed. Abortion isn't discussed. Well, actually, the death penalty does get a couple of indirect mentions, but no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury. Capital means a crime that could carry the death penalty. And then on the 14th Amendment, well, that's the Fifth Amendment, but the 14th Amendment does say any state cannot deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Okay, what else? The Constitution makes no mention of political parties. Yet it was believed, very strongly actually, that having opposing parties would make the nation a better place. There would be more checks and balances, and we will get to hear all sides of the story. I disagree, but no one asked me, so moving on. The US always had two main parties competing for power. First, we had Federalists and Democratic Republicans, and then later we had Whigs and Democrats, and since 1854, Republicans and Democrats. You know, we also have to remember that the original founding fathers didn't want democracy. They didn't. Voting rights were for property owners. And the people, we rabble, were not to be trusted. And you can see that if you look back into the history. The early elections were a shambles until the 12th Amendment remedied the situation. and privacy. To sort out the privacy issue, I think we need to get a medium to channel the framers of the Constitution, because there's no real true concept of that there. And then if we're going to move on to abortion, well, I guess decent folk didn't discuss such things back then, and I jest, but, you know, here's our conundrum. The meaning of the Constitution keeps changing as a result of judicial interpretation and reinterpretation without any change in the words on the paper. So today, our justice system, the Supreme Court, which made us stand apart from the other countries because of its mission to be the guardians of checks and balances, has been captured and compromised by the deep state machinery. Not so long ago, we discussed whether or not a judge was a supporter of the living Constitution, seeing the Constitution as a living, breathing document to be interpreted and reinterpreted according to society's changing needs. Or was he or she a strict constitutionalist, having a literal approach to interpretation? Rather like Thomas Jefferson. Now, I agree with Justice Scalia, rest in peace, my friend. Strict constitutionalism, he said it's a degraded form of textualism that brings the whole philosophy into disrepute. A text should not be construed strictly, and it should not be construed leniently. And it should be construed reasonably to contain all that it fairly means. And that's why he was Clinton-sided, because there's no way that man died a natural death. I miss him so much. Textualism nowadays bleeds into originalism. And we all know what happens if you put a bunch of legal peeps into a room. I lean towards originalism. I share the view that the Constitution had a clear and definite meaning at the time it was drafted, and to interpret it, a court must go back to the original meaning. The US Supreme Court has made a great many changes, major changes to the US Constitution, without altering a single word of the text. And if we don't look to the original intention, we're just wasting time trying to get the worms back in the can. And if we ask the big question, is the Constitution outdated? And my answer is no, but no one cares, so moving on. Is the Constitution outdated? Let's look at both sides of the argument. Those who say it is outdated, and I want to thank again Dr. Arnhem for his sense of humor in writing about this. He says, when the Constitution was drafted, the world was a different place. We had no cheeseburgers, no cell phones, no MP3 players, no yoga pants, things most people regard as necessities. We had no cars. We had no airplanes, electricity. We didn't have television. We didn't have computers. And you could only call yourself a man if you had a willy. And people argue that the social values were different. Slavery was rife. Women had few legal rights. Homosexual acts were outlawed. Can a constitution emanating from such an alien background remain relevant without constant reinterpretation by the Supreme Court? Fair questions. But the other side has a different opinion. The core values enshrined in the Constitution are timeless, and they represent the underpinnings of this country as originally conceived, the true foundation, the true blueprint. We could also argue for and say the Constitution is a force for stability in law, government, and society. And a proliferation of inconsistent interpretations of the Constitution could lead people to lose respect for the Supreme Court. Too late. And for the Constitution itself. Well, we have already lost respect for our justice system. Most of them need to be dangled for urinating on the Star Spangled. That's for sure. I agree that only by sticking closely to the original meaning of the Constitution can the Supreme Court achieve a uniform approach to this. Well, duh. The Supreme Court is not allowed to change the Constitution. That is an elaborate process of amendment, and all of the terms of which can be found in, guess what, the Constitution. They made it a big old pain in the ass to change, and they did that on purpose. And to conclude this segment, I really urge us all to take an interest in our country's history and our civic structure, because if you don't know where you came from, how are you going to have any idea where you're supposed to end up? So go get yourselves American Constitution for Dummies, all of the 101 primers about the Constitution, and read it and see, you know, paragraph by paragraph, do you understand it? If you don't understand it, why don't you start a Constitution coffee club with your neighbors or, you know, with other like-minded patriots? Let's get engaged in this massive revolution that's going on. We don't all have to take our rifles and go down to Texas, although I know many who have. But we can all do our bit in our own way every day. Remember, America has a sacred purpose. That's why we're here. That's why our souls landed us here in this incarnation. So time for a little sip of my drinky poo, I think. And well, you know, people, thank you for sitting through all that. I received a letter, an actual letter in the mail from someone who used to attend my kitchen witch classes several years ago. And she says, "Dear Arnie, I know you had to close your office when the plandemic hit, but I miss those cozy get-togethers we used to have where we mixed our herbs and lit our candles and sang our hearts out. I write this letter not to share my feelings of nostalgia, but to ask if you would make a video of the spell you wrote to restore America to her sacred purpose. I think it would be of great benefit to all those reclusive or disenfranchised patriot witches across the land. I hope you will consider this, and I hope you will consider opening up your bricks and mortar location once again." By witch, we mean wise woman, and by spell, we mean another form of prayer. I'm not a Wiccan or any such thing. I do not claim to be. I follow no formal religion. We all know that. But the Kitchen Witch classes, they were just a lovely gathering of ladies who came together to share ideas on how to improve the lives of their families. And I will make a video of the ceremony. But for now, let me share with you, all of you, the actual spell. Okay? Now, we don't have visuals, but I know you're all good at creative visualizations. So you will need candles, one red, one white, one blue, one gold. And these can be birthday candles, okay? You don't have to go out to a witchy store and spend $7 for a candle. You can buy birthday candles. You will need a small bowl of clean water, and you will need a small bowl of salt. The classic combination to start any spell: water, salt, and a candle. If you have an altar, you will do this on your altar. If you don't, you'll probably want to face north. If you don't want to face north, don't face north. What's important is that you create a little sacred space and that you do this reverentially with love and with intent, okay? So light the red candle and say, "I light the candle red, our hearts to warm and to open. Let us choose always to love and to never let divine trust be broken." And you place the candle down in its chosen place. Light the white candle now and say, "I light the candle white to illuminate our original intent. For this land to serve the light and God's love to honor and augment." Place the white candle next to the red candle. Light the blue candle and say, "I light the candle blue so that cool heads may prevail. Let us bid the past adieu and allow old grievances to set sail." And put down the blue candle. Now you have three lit candles around your little bowl of water and your little bowl of salt. And then we said, "This land was chosen by the light to be the great equalizer, where all who suffered persecution could come, take refuge, and for as long as it harmed none, to live, to work, to worship as they willed. This land was chosen to bring all cultures together to learn how contrast complements itself when all who suffer come together to heal. In this sacred moment, let us share our love with all those who perished when the great plan was destroyed by those who knew only greed and by those who hunger for war and saw this beautiful and blessed land as nothing more than an opportunity to plunder resources. To the native tribes who were murdered in great numbers, may the light illuminate your souls and honor your bloodlines. May your ancient wisdom be preserved throughout all realms in all directions and through all dimensions. To the native tribes of other countries of all colors and all creeds, brought here against their will to work and die in unholy conditions, may the light illuminate your souls and honor your bloodlines. May your ancient wisdom be preserved throughout all realms in all directions and through all dimensions. And to those who came to this land of their own accord, risking life and limb to make a better life for themselves, their families, and for future generations, may the light illuminate your souls and honor your bloodlines. May your ancient wisdom be preserved throughout all realms in all directions and through all dimensions. And when the time comes for the merging of those bloodlines, may it enhance and enrich our experience and let it be a conscious choice. To those who plundered this land and its people for their own gain, may the light educate you in the error of your ways and remove from you the disease of fear and lack that drives men to commit atrocities. And to all and any who shed their blood upon this land, may the light rest and illuminate your souls and align you with your highest good. And to those who live here today, know that this is a sacred land designated for a sacred purpose. You chose to be here at soul level at this time, and therefore I charge you to play your part in restoring America to grace. Then you will light the golden candle, and you will say, I light the candle golden to watch over the red, the white, and the blue. Let our hearts now be emboldened and this land restored to its purpose true. Amen. So mote it be, and so it is. And you let the candles burn out. You never put them out. But if you do have to put them out because you have to leave the room, in witchy crafty things, you use a snuffer. You never blow the candle out because then you blow away all the magic. So thank you for requesting that. The lady has requested also not to have her name shared, but it makes me feel so good to have said that again. I really enjoyed our classes. I hope we can start something like that up again. We'll see. Okay. Should we have a silly little poem just to, you know, break the serious energy? Let's do it. I didn't have anything ready for poetry, so I decided to have a strong Turkish coffee earlier in the morning and see where my mind led me. And my mind led me to the days of my boarding school, which was a good place to be for me because home was not a very good place for me to be. Very interesting times. I have lots of mixed emotions about that. But I wanted to write about the food. The food in an English boarding school. And believe me, darlings, the food in an English boarding school is nothing to write home about. Maybe it's improved today, but, you know, I doubt it. And for the massive amount of money that my parents spent on my education, you think you could have thrown me a ribeye or a piece of filet mignon or some smoked salmon once in a while. So this is a work in progress, but it's called English Boarding School Food. And here we go. Sausages, bacon, bread, jam, and butter. A pot of tea, 'cause coffee makes young hearts flutter. That's breakfast done, and that was fun. A slice of spam, deep fried in batter, with a side of something resembling antimatter. That's luncheon for all you young ladies. But, sir, I think they also serve this in Hades. Three fish fingers with mash and baked beans. And a pudding of something greasy floating in a custardy cream. A dinner to delight those dying of starvation. To everyone else, it's just a lack of temptation. And between lunch and dinner was a meal called tea. It was bread with butter and jam and more tea. Yippee! I have recounted the story as accurately as I am able. I was never impressed with the boarding school table. You know, I look back on those days, and it's like 100 million years ago. It wasn't that long, of course. I'm 64, and I think I was there till I was about 17 or something. But it really feels like a different era completely. England was a different place. The mindset was different. Civilizations change. It's normal. It's natural. But what's happening now with all this immigration is not normal. It's not natural. It's a forced change in society to cause chaos, to collapse sovereignty. People who listen to this show, martini heads, know all this. And it's a shame. I know I'm not triggered. I will honestly tell you, I'm not triggered. I'm very calm. But when I think about the old days, and I think about what's happened, there's just a little nostalgia, I guess. A little nostalgia for the old days. Not for the food, because the food was shit, you know, in the boarding school. Anyway, moving on. I hope you enjoyed that poem. Oh, my gosh, people. Look at the time. Look at the time. We're getting very close to the end of the show. Let me remind you, please, to visit my website, aniavedisian.com. You might want to join us on the last Saturday of each month for a cosmic conversation. The cost is $17.76, and they're lovely little entry-level classes. And we just do like a little amuse-bouche, an appetizer. We discuss the high points of any particular subject. What are we doing this month? We're doing the Kabbalion, and then later on coming up, we have Nazi occult roots. I think I've got a comparative religion one coming up. I'm going to tackle the Book of Revelations as well. We're going to do various different philosophies, and we're going to do some ET stuff. They're about an hour and 45 minutes long. And if you want to join a community of martini heads and learn something and have a good laugh, go to my website, aniavedisian.com, sign up for my cosmic conversations or for any of my services, because, you know, I have to pay the rent, people. So get in there and, you know, send me some money. It'll be lovely. But sweethearts, I have to say, I think we have to wrap it up for this week. I'm about to finish my drink. Hold on. You know, I did enjoy that. I have finished my drink, and that means the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I always have a blast. Why wouldn't I have a blast when I meet my friends from all over the world, possibly all over the galaxy, on this show? Today's real-life cocktail was a classic from the Mr. Boston Deluxe Official Bartender's Guide. And it's called the Black Hawk cocktail, and here's how you make it. 1 1/4 ounces of your favorite whiskey, bourbon, or rye. I'm using Wild Turkey 101 rye. 1 1/4 ounces of sloe gin. I'm using 1881 sloe gin because I love the fruity warm feeling it gives me. Take those liquids, pour them into a shaker with cracked ice, stir well, no shaky, strain, pour into your favorite 3 ounce cocktail glass and enjoy. And when you finish this cocktail, you can rightly say, Black Hawk down, yeah. A big thank you to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location. You'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. I'm Ani Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are ever so grateful. Mwah, mwah, smoochy, smoochy. Until we meet again. Whatever happens next, do not comply. Kick the man in the eye. Eat American-made apple pie. And above all, my darlings, let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.